Welcome to Comic Talk Today for Tuesday, June 26, 2018. And oh my God, what a week it has been. Sweet Jesus, there's so much happening in comics, I could almost do this podcast every day. Oh wait, I almost do. But seriously, there's a lot going on, there's a lot that I want to talk about this week. First, I want to do a little bit of follow-up from last week's episode in which I talked about the DC and Walmart deal. And some of you may be thinking, Martin, you already devoted an entire episode of your podcast to talking about this DC-Walmart thing. Can we please not talk about it? Well, you know what? We're not really going to talk about it. It's a small fit. Now, there was an artist announced for Bendis's Batman story, which starts in Batman 100-page giant Batman number 3, and it's going to run for 12 issues. And that's going to be Nick Darrington, who's been working on Doom Patrol. And I love his art. I'm surprised that's who they're putting on there. But I think that kind of is a little telling to the demographic. Now, of course, both Bendis and Darrington have their fan base, but I think Darrington's art definitely skews very well towards a younger demographic. And I think it makes perfect sense to have it in one of these books that are going to be put at Walmart. I was talking to my co-host over at the Nerd Legion podcast, Nick Wetmore, and I think he and I will probably be discussing this sometime in the next week or so. I think we're recording this week, but that episode won't be out till next week. And, you know, he's got some things to say about it. And I know it seemed a little down about the deal, and I want to make my position a little clearer. The only reason that I'm a little down on the deal is because I already own most of these, and I don't know if I want to spend $5 on 12 pages of new content. So I want to make that clear. However, this is a great deal for comics in general. As I've talked about recently, my first experience buying comics was at this little Korean deli. And if it wasn't for that, I would not be reading comics, I don't think. Maybe I would have. And the more options that we have, the better it's going to be for the comic industry. Because I do still firmly believe people will not just be going to Walmart to pick up books. This is not going to hurt shops in any way. In fact, I think it's going to be great for shops because people will see these books and want more. And the only place they'll be able to go is going to be the comic shop. And I saw some of the negativity from some comic shop owners, mostly from comic shop owners that generally complain about these kind of deals. Some of the ones that do very well on their own as a comic shop have not complained because they, I think, run good stores. And I sent out a tweet earlier today. I'm recording this, of course, a day early before it comes out. But I sent out a tweet that I want to talk to some comic shops. And I want to thank those of you that made some suggestions on great shops and great shop owners that I can talk to. I have already reached out to some of those guys. I already heard back from one, so he will be coming on. And I'm very excited for that because I want to talk about this kind of stuff. You know, having creators on Thursdays for Therapy Thursday is great. I love doing it. But I also just enjoy talking about comics. That's why I have some of my friends come on here, other podcasters come on here, and of course I want to talk to comic shop owners and see what their take is, because I don't think we get enough of their takes going forward. Unless those shops have, you know, like a podcast, right? Like Cowabunga has a podcast, Challengers has a podcast, Editor's Note has a podcast. So we do get, you know, kind of a feeling on what those guys are doing in their shops. But I want to talk to them here just so they can reach a different audience. And I think it's going to be great. I think it will be great for comic shops. Even those naysayers, you know, they'll see down the line, this is not such a bad thing. And the thing too that they gotta remember, I saw this somewhere. I don't know if it was an article that was written on a website or if it was in a podcast that I heard. The one thing that some of these guys are forgetting is they already have thousands of exclusive comics, right? And they're complaining about one exclusive book at Walmart, which is nonsensical. They're already getting every single book because those books are not available anywhere. And now that maybe some other outlets are trying these things, like, for example, we talked about GameStop a couple weeks ago, which, by the way, they're being sold because they're not doing very well. GameStop lost, I think, $700 million last year. How you lose that much money, I don't know. But the business is not doing well. And they're trying comics. We see Walmart trying comics. We see the spinner rack thing that I don't think will work. I still don't think will work. And from the feedback that I received on that, a lot of you don't feel like it'll work, even if you're nostalgic about seeing spinner racks in different places. One of the plays that has done pretty well with comic-related material is Barnes & Noble. And I do want to talk about this a little bit because Barnes & Noble is going to be expanding their kids oriented graphic novel section to 250 titles. And I think that's huge. And this is a market that I don't talk about on this podcast because there's not a lot of kids listening here. But of course, as many of you know, I do have two young daughters, 14 and 7, almost 8. And I want to introduce them to comics. And I try every so often, and they enjoy the stuff that I give them, but they're not like down for collecting books. And I get that. That's fine. It's not for everybody. But, you know, the fact that Barnes & Noble has expanded their line says a lot about this, because Barnes & Noble is also having a lot of financial problems. But one thing that is very successful, as we all know, is the kids' graphic novels, right? This is the reason, like, for example, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur do extremely well, is because while those of us that read copies of comics in singles, right, every month or every 2 weeks or, you know, whatever schedule your book comes out in, we might not pick up those books. Kids might not necessarily pick up those books, but those books do extremely well when they go into a graphic novel format. And this is true for a lot of other books. There's many books that I never talk about on this podcast because it's not the demographic that I think this podcast serves, but there's a ton of books that are kid friendly. And I've started diving into some of this stuff because I want to get my kids a little more involved in it. I want to make those recommendations on the podcast because of course many of you have children and I'm sure many of you want to bring your kids into the world of comics some way. And it's kind of hard to do that when, you know, if you're reading like Batman and Doctor Strange, just to throw two out. It's going to be very hard to get your kids interested in comics if that's what you're reading. They're not going to enjoy those books. But a book like Moon Girl Devil Dinosaur or Amulet or Wings of Fire. I know I was talking to Jordan on Twitter maybe a couple days ago. He has a 10-year-old niece. He said 10 going on 15. So I made a couple of recommendations on books. I think I recommended Nancy Drew and By Night. Those are not, you know, big two titles. But, you know, there's comics for this audience. And I want to talk a little bit more about that. So I'll be doing an episode probably in a couple weeks. Maybe when I do a top five, probably not the next one, but the one after, I'll be doing some stuff related to kids' comics because I think it's important. It's very important. And the fact that Barnes & Noble is going to be spending a large chunk of real estate in their stores devoted exclusively to graphic novels, I think says a lot, right? We often talk about comic sales, the comic industry's not doing well, this and that and the other. But you know what? There are segments of the industry that do extremely well. And this demographic of like, I don't know, 7, 8 to 12, 13 can do really well in graphic novel because they're easier to read. Of course, you have pictures accompanying the books and it's a perfect fit for that demographic. So I think this is also great, great news. And I hope that other places start expanding their business into this kind of thing. Not necessarily maybe graphic novels, but I want to see more kid-oriented stuff that is pushed into the mainstream in comics in general. That's important to me. It's important because I want my kids involved again. And if you have kids, it might be important to you. So I think that's pretty big news. I'm very excited for that. Last week, almost immediately after I recorded the news segment, news came out that Robert Kirkman was going to be developing an Invincible animated TV series exclusive to Amazon. So if you have Prime, you would get this for free, by the way. And I think that's really interesting. And one thing that I hadn't realized is that Kirkman's kind of been trying to get away from AMC and doing stuff at that network and other related networks because Amazon gained exclusive rights to new content back in 2017. And that's something that I've forgotten about. It's something that came up as I was looking into this deal. And, you know, Invincible finished up recently. It ran for a long time, like 15 plus years. I mean, that's an incredible run. The art was Ryan Otley towards the end, who is now that Invincible is done. He's working on Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man book that's coming out. So that's very exciting. And I want to see Invincible. It's just, it is an amazing series. I have not read the entire thing. I think I've gotten up to issue like 80-ish, roughly around that era. And there's so much evolution of the characters and the storyline and what happens. And, you know, I often have words to say about Robert Kirkman, but I think Invincible is just absolutely brilliant. And I can't wait to see this on TV. Of course, this is an animated series. What I found interesting is that unlike most animated series, this will be a full hour-long show. And there's no release date yet, but an hour of animation, that's a lot of work. And I'm surprised that Amazon is willing to do such a lengthy show. But I think that means that we're going to get some really great stories, some really polished product. And of course, Kirkman's going to be involved as an executive producer. So I look forward to seeing Invincible on TV. I'm very excited for this and I can't wait until they announce it. The biggest news so far, and this is still like a developing story, is the whole Disney Fox thing. And I'm going to just briefly touch upon it because I think it's important for a lot of comic fans to keep up with this, even though the minutia of it may be a little boring because it's business, it's financials, and no one really cares about that stuff. But some of you may know that Comcast made a counteroffer to purchase 21st Century Fox about a week ago, immediately after AT&T decided to buy, what did they buy? Time Warner. This went to Supreme Court. Supreme Court said, this is totally okay. It's not a monopoly. You guys can go ahead and with the deal. Comcast said, cool. Now we're going to buy 21st Century Fox. And Disney's like, no, you're not. We've got a counteroffer. So DC has countered with what amounts to $85 billion. I know everybody's saying $71 billion is the deal. That's actually not correct. The amount is true. That is $71.3 billion in cash and stocks to buy 21st Century Fox. But as part of the deal, Disney is also purchasing Fox's debt, and Fox has $13 billion in debt, so that amounts to $85 billion. That's a huge sum of money. It's a huge sum of money. And of course, we are all excited because that means that Marvel can start doing X-Men and Fantastic Four movies again. But really, there's a whole lot more to this deal, and something I don't want to talk about here because it'll get into politics and technology and stuff, and I think the audience for this podcast probably doesn't care about that stuff. I do want to talk about this with Nick, so if you're interested in my take on what this means beyond just getting the X-Men and the Fantastic Four back, then check out the Nerd Legion podcast. I'll see if I can convince Nick to talk about it for next week's episode. But this is still developing. We'll see how it goes. The offer has not been accepted yet, but I think Fox very much wants Disney to purchase the company and not Comcast, so this will probably end up going through anyway. Final bit of news that I want to talk about is a little tease that Kevin Feige is doing about bringing the Young Avengers into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, part of the reason for this is that Scott Lang's daughter, Cassie, has been involved with the Ant-Man and the Wasp movie. Apparently, she was in, she's got a cameo in Avengers Infinity War. I didn't know that was a thing. I totally missed that. She will also be in Avengers 4. And of course, Cassie is a member of the Young Avengers. The reason why I think this is big news is we've often, as comic fans, talked about what's going to happen to the Avengers after this whole Thanos saga is over, right? Because we know that Captain America's kind of going away. He doesn't want to come back, renew his contract. We know Tony Stark, he's going to be going away. I guess he's done so many films. To me, he's made so much money of it. He's like, I'm done. And I don't blame him. I'd be doing that too. What's going to happen with the Avengers though? I mean, we're always going to have some Avengers team. But what if, as part of the next phase of Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, Marvel decides to go with a different type of team? And of course, the Young Avengers do have analogs to the Avengers proper. But this is a brand new team, different people. And I think that's an interesting way of doing it. And it's something that, as comic fans, we don't often see because with comics, enough people end up complaining that the teams revert back to what they were, right? It's always been the case. Even when you have some great characters taking over the roles of their mentors, it always goes back to square one. Like, for example, when Dick Grayson took over as Batman, I hate to say this, folks, but Dick Grayson is about as good, if not better, a Batman than Bruce Wayne is. Yeah, I said it. Okay. Hashtag unpopular opinions. It's going to be my new thing. But, he was fantastic. Fantastic. And of course, that was kind of during the Morrison run and all that. So I know some people have things to say about that. That's fine. This happens all the time. And we end up reverting back because people hate the new characters, right? Like when Amadeus Cho became the Hulk, everyone's like, ugh, why are we doing this? Like, bring Bruce Banner back. Now we've got Bruce Banner back, right? Everyone's happy again. I can't remember what the girl that took over for Hawkeye was. That was a fantastic series, and everyone's like, ugh, just bring Hawkeye back. This girl sucks. I don't understand the hatred for it. You know, I understand you grow up with a character, you feel an affinity to it, you relate to it, and you want to continue loving that character. But don't you think that just like in real life, maybe you want to see these characters evolve and become more of a mantle than just the same character over and over again? How many new stories can you tell with the same character, right? As comic fans, we complain all the time. Hey, you guys did this story 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Why are we doing this again? Well, the reason why, I just told you, you don't want to try new characters out. So I think this could be really interesting if Marvel decides to go that way in bringing the new, the Young Avengers in as the new central team for the next phase in Marvel movies. And there's going to be a ton of movies. I think there's 20 movies in the works already. That's absolute insanity. But I can't wait to see how this all goes. I'm excited. I hope that people can embrace it. And I don't know if comic fans will, but I think the general audience will be perfectly okay with a different Avengers team. With that said, that's going to be the end of the news. It is now time for me to discuss this week's picks in a segment I like to call the Comic Predictor. And I have a metric ton of books that I'm going to recommend for this week. A literal metric ton. I'm not even going to count them, but it's got to be like 15 books. Some of them are actually final issues, so warning, these first couple are the last issue of the series. If you have not been following, you may not want to pick them up, but you might want to check them out, and you might be surprised with what you find. Of course, those three are some really heavy hitters. The first one up is Killer Be Killed, number 20. It's from Image Comics, written by Ed Brubaker with art by Sean Phillips. Absolutely brilliant book. I've loved every single issue of it, and I'm totally okay with them ending the story because I think one thing that makes Ed Brubaker a great writer is the fact that he knows when to end the story. And for him and for Sean Phillips, this story is done, and they're ending it at issue 20. I wish more comic book writers could do that. Seriously. Of course, they do have other books that they're working on. I think I mentioned with Nick an original graphic novel that they're working on that sounded pretty interesting. It was about a girl who is like obsessed with drug addict artists and actors and stuff like that and goes to rehab and craziness ensues while she's in rehab. Seemed a little weird, but you know, these guys are trying new and really interesting things with their comics, and I can't wait to see all the projects they're coming up with. As long as they stay together, man, like, this is a great freaking team. Killer Be Killed has been absolutely fantastic pretty much since issue one. There have been a couple issues that were a little bit on the softer side, where maybe you were a little confused about where the story was going, but I think overall it has made up for that. And, I mean, Sean Phillips' art, I think, is... Oh man, bar none. Like, he's gotta be one of my top 10 artists right now. He's just absolutely amazing. And Ed Brubaker, come on. The guy is a genius, and he's been in comics for decades. So, you may not want to pick up this final issue. I, of course, will be because I've been following this whole series. But definitely go ahead and check these out in trade. I think the volume one is probably like $8 or $9. It's an Image trade. So you can get it pretty cheap, and I'm sure you can go to Half Price Books or Amazon or any of those places and get it even cheaper than that. But highly, highly recommend it. Killer Be Killed 20, that's from Image Comics. Another series that I really, really love, and I'm a little sad that it's the final issue, is Astro City with issue number 52. This is, of course, Kurt Busiek, Brett Anderson, and covers by Alex Ross. This series has been going on for God knows how many years, 20, 25 years through... I mean, at least three or four different publishers. Every issue is just absolutely brilliant. It's very much a superhero story. If you've never picked this up and you're like, Martin, I'm not going to read a 50-second issue of anything. And look, I don't blame you. That's how you've been trained in the comic industry. But let me tell you that this book is brilliant. And nearly every single issue is self-contained. At most, you'll have stories lasting two issues. And they focus on different characters all the time. So... most likely, you won't need to have any background story to understand what's happening. I cannot wait to see what this love letter in issue 52 is going to be. I've been a huge fan of this book since I was like, I don't know, 15 years old, I guess is when it came out. I've just loved every single bit of it. It's absolutely brilliant, and it's been Kurt Busiek the entire time. Issue 52 is out this week. Please pick it up. If you don't want to, let me just tell you, they will be doing... original graphic novels for Astro City going forward. I'm not sure what the release schedule is. I want to say quarterly or, you know, every 3 or 4 months is, I think, what I heard. Definitely pick those up. This book is just great. Astro City number 52, that's from DC Comics. Another final issue is one of my all-time favorite ongoing horror books, and that is Harrow County over at Dark Horse Comics. This is issue 32. It's the final issue. It's Cullen Bunn and Tyler Crook. absolutely brilliant story all the way through. I don't think there's been a single bad issue of this series. And, you know, this is a horror book, and I know some of you may not be into horror books. That's okay. For the horror fans, you're probably reading this, so I shouldn't have to tell you that you need to pick this final issue up. I'm a little sad that it's ending, but you know what? Cullen Bunn's always got new projects. He's got a new Kickstarter coming out, Metro, which I backed. It looks really, really good. And, of course, he's got a new book out, because just when one ends, one begins. And that book is Shadow Roads, number one. This is from Oni Press. And I'll just give you a little tidbit of the synopsis. The world is the thinnest at the crossroads, a mythical plane that serves as a doorway through the universe. It is here that a band of adventurers throughout the Wild West gather, brought together by Guard Cantrell, Lady Abigail Redmayne, with a single purpose, to fight back against the creatures that endanger the sanctity of all creation. This sounds freaking awesome. It's like a Sherlock Holmes detective Victorian story with magical stuff and no space. You know, my new joke is everything happens in space, and this one just, I don't know, this sounds awesome. This sounds really cool. I can't wait to pick up Shadow Roads, and again, that's from Oni Press. Let's go from there to another horror book. Man, this is a great week for horror books, by the way. Let me just say that. If you haven't noticed by now, I've got another one I'm going to talk about next, and there's two more that I'll talk about at the end of the episode. This is Bedtime Games, number one, from Dark Horse Comic by Nick Keller, Connor Nolan, and Kelly Fitzpatrick. And I don't think this is an anthology book. I think this is actually a straight-up horror story. This is three young friends who start their senior year, so they're in school, and they begin an adventure when evil is set loose in the world and preys upon their nightmares. And I think that sounds so cool. Nick Keller, of course, from Death's Head, Connor Nolan from Giants, which I love Giants. That's a fantastic book. And Kelly Fitzpatrick doing Shade the Changing Girl over at Young Animal. I can't wait to see what this is about. I hope that it lives up to my expectations. And it's great to see Dark Horse continuing the tradition of fantastic horror books. Dark Horse has always had terrific dark sci-fi and horror stories, and I think this could end up being one of the gems of the week. Let's go from there over to Marvel Comics. I have two Marvel picks that I want to talk about. The first one is Multiple Man. This is a 5-issue miniseries, so issue one is out this week. That's Matthew Rosenberg, Andy McDonald, and Marcos Martin. And, of course, this is Multiple Man, the guy who can make a bunch of himself. And you might think to yourself, Martin, he died. And yes, he did. Multiple Man died, I think, like pretty early on, like issue one or two of Death of X, a series which I really loved. And I know a lot of X-Men fans really hated, but I thought it was really terrific. And I think part of the reason why people hated it was they dragged on so long with this whole Terrigen Mist thing and the Inhumans and X-Men. Hopefully all that will be put to rest pretty soon. You know, like both X-Men books are being canceled in September, both Blue and Gold. So my assumption is there's going to be a new Uncanny book coming out. Inhumans, there's kind of no Inhumans book right now. Black Bolt was the only one left. That just ended. I know Donny Cates is doing the Death of the Inhumans. So, you know, maybe we're putting both franchises aside for now until they can figure out what the hell is happening. But I'm excited to see what this Multiple Man book is. Matthew Rosenberg, to me, is I don't know. Some books that he does I really love, and some books I'm just okay with. Like, he was doing the Marvel Team-Up, I think it was called, the book that had that Black Widow story when they brought Black Widow back to life, kind of as a clone, but not really. It also had Winter Soldier and Hawkeye. That book was really brilliant. Nobody was talking about it. I'm not sure why. I really, really enjoy that. Of course, Rosenberg was doing a bunch of Black Mass stuff back in the day, like Four Kids Walk Into a Bag. Absolutely brilliant book there as well. I want to see how this goes. He's doing Punisher right now. That's kind of, I know it's hit or miss for some people. I've seen more positive than negative on it. I really like the new take with Punisher wearing the War Machine armor. I think it's cool and it's different. And, you know, I want different. I don't want the same crap told all the time. So Multiple Man comes back to life, apparently. He's got a new set of villains that needs to fight, apparently. He has kind of a falling out with the X-Men. I mean, I would too if I was dead and came back to life. So I want to see how this is. I love the indie feel that Matt Rosenberg brings to Marvel books, and I think this could end up being a really special one. Fingers crossed that it works out. I've been a multiple man fan for a long, long time, so I can't wait to see how this one goes. Another one that I'm kind of iffy about is going to be The Century Number One. This is written by Jeff Lemire. We've got Aaron Kim Jacinto and Brian Hitch. And this is, yes, The Century coming back and getting his own book. I'm not going to read the synopsis for this book, but I was flipping through it, and the reason I'm a little weary about this is a lot of it reads to me like what Lemire was doing with Moon Knight after he took over that book. And I hope that's not the case, because as good as I thought that was, I don't want to see the same kind of story. And, you know, so Sentry does have that multiple personality weirdness thing, the mental health issues. So, you know, we'll see, but I'm excited to read it. Believe it or not, I like the Sentry as a character, even when he's that crazy void thing that kills everything. I think The Century could be really interesting with the right writer. And I do believe in Jeff Lemire. I have high hopes that he can take this character in a new direction that'll be fresh and exciting and different. I just hope it's not something we've already seen before. Let's go on over to Titan Comics. And I know some of you will be very happy to hear me say that I'm going to recommend Mickey Spillane's Mike Hammer number one. This is a part of the Hard Case Crime line of books from Titan Comics. And this is an old new Mike Hammer story. I mean, if you've been reading Mike Hammer, then you might understand what that means. If you don't, then this is an awesome detective story set in like 30s, 40s era. And it is fantastic, fantastic setting for books. I love these kind of old time detective stories. You know, like like Dick Tracy-ish, but without the humor. And if you flip through preview images of Mike Hammer, this is one of the most gorgeous books that I've seen come out of any publisher this year. It is absolutely beautiful. I believe it's fully painted, and it fits perfectly with this era. So if you like 30s, 40s stuff, you love detective stories, mob type stuff, highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. And it's only $3.99, so, you know, why not? What do you got to lose? Let's go on from there to some quick picks. Horror Infernal Descent number 3 from Aftershock Comics. Of course, from friends of the show, Zach Thompson, Lonnie Nadler, and Kyle Charles. This series has been brilliant all the way throughout, and I think I haven't read this issue yet. I received an early preview copy. I haven't read it yet. You know, judging by what these guys are doing and all the other stuff, I'm very excited to read this. This book is kind of a mind trip. And judging from what I know about this particular issue, it's going to be even trippier. And that has me excited because Andy Warhol shows up. So, Horror Infernal Descent number 3 from Aftershock. Pick that one up. Another quick pick, Pestilence Story of Satan number 2, also from Aftershock. I know some people reached out to me about this book that they were going to be picking it up. I hope you guys did. Let me know if you did. I love this series. That's all I'm going to say about it. I talk about it too much. Breathless number 3 from Black Mass Studios. Another brilliant book where we have scientists who are using monsters to cure diseases. This has been really great. Patrick Shan and Renzo Rodriguez do brilliant work in this series. Do not sleep on this book. It is really, really something special. Another horror book, Blackwood number 2. We have Evan Dorkin, Veronica Fish, and Andy Fish. Of course, I talked about this a couple weeks ago when the first issue came out. I think it might have been my pick of the week that week. It was just brilliant. It's a group of kids who show up to the school that's kind of like a Harry Potter sorcery school, but not really. And there's weird stuff happening with people being taken over by demons, and there's magic stuff and people disappearing, and there's a gate to hell in the basement. It's awesome. Evan Dorkin is a giant horror fan, and it bleeds onto anything he does. When he does a horror book, you can tell how passionate he is about the genre. So if you like horror books, check it out. If you just want to see how great a book can be simply when a creator loves the source material and is telling a story that they really enjoy doing, check out Blackwood. That's from Dark Horse Comics. And the final one's going to be Ruin of Thieves, A Brigand Story number 2. Now, some of you may remember that I talked about this on Top of the Pile on yesterday's episode. The reason for that being is this came out digitally last week. Apparently, it's not coming out in print until this week. So, good reason to maybe try some more digital comics, folks. You might want to try that. Ruin of Thieves is Ram V with Sumit Kumar. This is from Action Lab Danger Zone. Fantastic book. That's all I'm going to say, because I'm sure if you're listening to this, you probably heard yesterday's episode in which I talked about it in depth. I recommend you pick this up. And while you're at it, pick up the first issue as well. That's it for the Comic Predictor segment. Before I go, tomorrow was going to be the rant and listener questions. However, I sent out a tweet that I was going to be giving some stuff away to anybody that submitted questions. And I received a ton of questions. Not only did I receive a ton of questions, I received a ton of really fantastic questions. In fact, questions so good, I know for a fact that that episode will have to be entirely devoted to questions because it's going to run long. So I'm going to give you a heads up. I usually try to do about 30 to 45 minutes on these Comic Talk Today episodes. Tomorrow's episode may last an hour plus based on the types of questions that I received. So thank you to everybody who suggested questions. You still have time to send some in. I will be happy to talk about them. The prize for submitting a question is a copy, a physical copy of original trade paperback graphic novel Cul-de-Sac from friends of the show Andrew Shaw and Will Playton. Of course, I had Andrew and Will on the show a couple weeks ago. A lot of people loved the interview that I did with them. They were really excited to try the book, but were a little weary of spending the $20 in shipping that it would cost to get the book from Australia. And I mean, the book's 10 bucks and you're paying 20 shipping. Totally understand. Andrew and Will were super kind enough to send me a few copies of the book along with some other stuff. I got some prints and bookmarks and stuff. Will's art, let me tell you, whew, it was nice seeing it digitally on my computer, but seeing it in print, that man is an artistic genius. So I'm going to be giving away three copies of Cul-de-Sac. I will ship anywhere in the U.S. I may ship in Canada. The problem is I've had issues shipping to Canada before, so I can't guarantee it. But for sure in the U.S., I'll be happy to send books out. All you need to do is submit a question. If I pick your question, I'm going to do a random.org thing, pick a number, and then three people that submitted questions will receive a copy of the book. And then I may give some of the prints and stuff away too. I really believe in these guys. The book is really, I keep on saying it, the book is brilliant. And I can't wait for whoever ends up winning these copies to actually get to read the book and hopefully enjoy it as much as I did. So that's number one. So when you're reading, when you're listening to this, you really probably only have a few hours because I record the episodes the previous day. Your question may not come in there, but send it anyway because maybe I'll do a giveaway next week. I also want to plug a Kickstarter that I backed. The Kickstarter is called Spirits, the Soul Collector. This is by Colin Lawler, who will be my guest on Thursday's therapy segment, Therapy Thursday segment. I had such a good time chatting with him, let me tell you. And I read kind of what the book will be. So right now it's a Kickstarter. You can actually go on Webtoons and check out both season one and season two of Spirits. And I really dug it. In fact, I'm starting to share it with my kids. I had my older daughter. She started reading it. She seems to be liking it. I'll probably talk to her about it at some point, but, highly recommended. It's an all ages fantasy story with beautiful art. If you're like a Miyazaki fan, then you will dig this book. If you don't know what Miyazaki is, then look it up because you're missing out. Colin will be my guest on Thursday. Friday will be the premiere of Secret Origins. I want to thank you all again for listening, for making this show so much fun to do. As you've noticed, I've started doing this nearly every day. I'm doing this like five or six times a week now. It doesn't feel like work, and that's why I love doing this podcast. So keep sending your feedback. Be sure to share this podcast with your friends. Let them know about it so they can chime in. If you feel like it, send me an iTunes reviews or whatever people do to promote the podcast. I'll be back tomorrow with a new episode. Thanks for listening, and catch you then.